Not good to have to depend on it, though. Okay, we're good. Right, we are allowed to start. The only announcement I know of is that we didn't put in that it's the second week, therefore we have communion. That will come after, I can't even find it now, the last but one song hymn, which is, so we have Thank You for the Cross, and then we will have communion, which Bruce will be leading. And we're glad to have Bruce and Eunice back, and praise God they've had a good time. Ross and Y was good to them. So, welcome back. So we come, let us draw our focus towards our God. Psalm 146 says, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and the widow, but the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Shall we praise the Lord with the first song, which you've all got there? I don't think it needs any introduction. Over to you, Maestro.
Love divine, all love gifts.
Oh, my faithful mercy.
always bless thee, we've just sung. Praise thee without ceasing. Lost in wonder, love and praise. So let's go on and say, so here I am to worship, to bow down, and to say that you are our God. Said, I think Psalm 100, enter my gates with thanksgiving and the courts with praise, which is the way to the temple where you were present and true worship took place. So we come, Lord. We offer you our thanks for all that you are to us, for all that you give us, for all good things come from you. We praise you for your glory, your wonder, your power, your creativity, your perfect plan of salvation. And Lord, the chorus we've just sung says, we worship, we bow down. And Lord, worship in simple terms is to subdue our bodies, to lower our heads, to kneel, to bow to the floor, that you may be exalted, that you are acknowledged as above and greater than us, that you may have our thanks, our praise, our worship, that your name may be glorified. So we thank you that we can meet in the name of Jesus, and you have promised where two or three are gathered, you are in our midst. Welcome, Lord Jesus. We rejoice that Holy Spirit is in us, that you are with us. And we ask that now, as we are met, as we are set apart, sanctified for you, that you minister to our needs. You know every individual, the hairs of the head, every problem, every thought. Minister, Lord, and may we know you better as we dwell with you. May we receive from you all that we need. May we go forth touched by you to touch a lost world, Lord. May your truth go forth. Use us. May your truth go forth and your words of life. And may we see people entering your kingdom, saved, snatched from the gates of hell, translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, that your worship may be filled up, that your glory may be filled up. So, Lord, we commit our nation to you and ask that you would overrule in the affairs of this nation, and that there will always be freedom for us to worship you, that you will guide this nation. And Lord, that as a nation we will bless Israel, for you have said that the judgment on the nations will be according to how they have treated your chosen people. And Lord, we commit the whole world to you. We know that the troubles that we see are within your will, for nothing can happen apart from your will. And we trust you, Lord, no matter what troubles come, that you have not lost control. You are Almighty God. So may we live for you. May we continue now in worship and praise and know you more closely. Amen. So, Graham, if you'd bring us our verse.
Right, today's reading is John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Aren't I wonderful to have a wife who prompts me that we've just skipped a whole song? So we will now do, I cannot tell why he whom angels worship should set his love upon the sons of men.
Sure, I'm not perfect.
Let's be honest, don't we?
Only.
Let us obey the one.
Last week we looked at Jehovah Jireh, our provider, and we'd been looking at the I Ams in the New Testament, and I discovered there were 7 I Ams in the New Testament, also 7 I Ams in the Old Testament, and we looked at all of those, and we came to the point of seeing Jesus as the total, the source of all of it, Yeshua, which is the combined 2 words of Jehovah, I Am, and Shua, salvation. I am your salvation. That is what Jesus is telling us with his name. And the cross is the place where it all became possible, where he gave us everything. So Jesus is our salvation, and everything flows from him on the cross. I've called this message the gift of Jesus. It's the ultimate provision that God has made. And I don't apologize, I've got somebody else's points here. Derek Prince, I don't know if it's his original thought, but he did a teaching on the divine exchange at the cross. The divine exchange. So time allowing, there are actually 10 points which are covered at the cross. And I've got scriptures. I hope we can look at all of them. I think we all know that Jesus died for our sins. I think we're all believers. If anybody hasn't got an assurance of their salvation, we need to be talking. So this is for believers. It's for those, as the first reading, the John 3:16 was saying, I can't even bring it to mind. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. It's believing. So this is really a question. Do you believe all these points? Can you take them on? Can you say them for yourself? The first point, this first exchange, was that Jesus was punished on the cross, before the cross and on the cross. He was punished that we might be forgiven. And the basis of that is Isaiah 53:4-5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He's borne our griefs, he's carried our sorrows. He was stricken, afflicted. We transgressed and he was wounded. It's our iniquities and he was bruised. He was chastised that we could have peace. It's an exchange. He went to the cross to take all the results of the fall, that we could have the blessings that God wants to pour out on us. He was punished that we might be forgiven. And Jesus was wounded that we might be healed. By his stripes we are healed. In 1 Peter 2:24, he quoted that again, and by his stripes ye are healed. I don't know if you actually take that on, that by his stripes we are healed. You look at Proverbs 4:20-22, and it speaks of the words that we should incline our ears to them, we should keep them within our heart, we should keep them before our eyes, and they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. And the marginal reading is medicine to all our flesh. The words of God, this truth that we have in the Bible, is healing. It is actually healing. And I can claim, I can proclaim, that even before I fully believed, I was reading scripture, and I was spending an hour every night. I was caring for my first wife, and I had a lot of time. Dead of night, I'd go off and read. And I was reading a chapter of Old Testament, a chapter of New Testament, and I went 4.5 times through the Bible without understanding, because I wasn't a believer. But during that time, I was healed of allergic rhinitis, house dust allergy, sleep apnea, where you stop breathing in your sleep, and arthritis. Not a bad record. And since, and I'm reading more words since, I've had 9 years on antidepressants, and this year I've been able to come off them. And a stomach medicine, I've stopped taking that. So the Lord is working. And this is Him on the cross and His Word. Jesus is the Word. Jesus was wounded that we might be healed. What an exchange. He was punished that we might be forgiven. And the first one really should have been, Jesus was made sin with our sinfulness, that we might be made righteous with His righteousness. He was made sin. He took all the results of the fall on Himself, the only way back to God, so that we could be made righteous. His righteousness imputed to us. Not that we earned it, but that He gave it to us. It's credited to our account. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. If you needed convincing, Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. There's the exchange. We're the ones who rebelled. We went away from God. But He's God, the Father, has laid our iniquity on Him. And another exchange. Jesus died our death, that we might receive His life. Through the cross, we believe, we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive the life of God, eternal life. What an exchange. Galatians 3:13, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that He by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. That's all of us. It's also all those who are condemned, who will never come to salvation. He died for everyone. He didn't take the easy option. He didn't say, well, I know He's going to believe in me. I'll die for them. Let's not bother with the rest. There's too many of them. He took all of it. And unfortunately, because He has died for everybody's sin, the ones who reject Him as well, they are justifiably condemned. The wrath of God will come on them. And Jesus was made a curse that we might enter into the blessing. Curses and blessings. Deuteronomy 28, have you ever read it? Moses had the children of Israel on, was it on the two mountains? And they were proclaiming all the blessings that God would bring on them if they obeyed Him, if they followed His law. And then, after about a third of the chapter, not much, He started on all the curses which would come on them if they did not obey the word of God. And we don't want to slip into the curse again. But Jesus was made a curse. And Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. I think it's worth saying at that point that I did mention last time the power of our words. I spoke about meekness, and we may not have great power physically or in our status, but we have power in our speech. And with the same mouth, we bless and we curse. So at some point I might get a chance to talk more about this, but I saw a woman in a waiting room with her child, and she was just telling him what a rotten child he was. You're so naughty. You never sit still. You don't do what I tell you. You won't come to anything. You're going to be trouble all your life. Those were curses. And the lady who counseled me when I had a breakdown said to me, oh, I've come to Bournemouth because my mother was crippled with arthritis, and when I'm older, I will be too, so I want to be on a level area. She was saying she was going to be crippled with arthritis. Even the scientists are now saying that what we say and what we speak out forms, if you like, a groove in our brain, a track which it goes on following, which produces what we've said. Another exchange. Jesus endured our poverty that we might share in his abundance. His poverty was total. Deuteronomy 28:48 was just speaking about the curses, but it applies to Jesus. He was in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. That was a curse that God was promising, but it came on Jesus instead of on the people of Israel, instead of on us. That's the poverty. He had absolutely nothing. He didn't have his dignity. He didn't have his clothes. He didn't have life. It was going from him. He had nothing. And he took that for us, that we could receive his abundance. And there's a most wonderful verse in 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God, there's so many alls and every and totally, this is one verse. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. We've got no excuse. We have a God who can supply, provide everything within his will, for his purposes, for us to do his good work. And Jesus bore our shame on the cross, that we might share his glory. I just said, he had no clothes. It was shameful. Hebrews 12, 1-2. Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So by enduring the shame, he entered into glory. But he shares, he gives to us. John 17:22. And the glory which thou gavest me, he said to the Father, I have given them, us, his glory in us. What an exchange. Jesus endured rejection by the Father, that we might have his acceptance with the Father. Mark 15:34, and at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He'd walked all that life with the Father. He'd had the Holy Spirit. He'd only done what the Father showed him. He'd only spoken what the Father gave him to speak. And at the last, God had to withdraw. It's only as a man without God in him that he could die a death. God cannot die. God forsook him. But we are accepted because of that. Ephesians 1, 5-6. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Accepted by God the Father, who loves us with love beyond anything we can really understand. And Jesus was cut off by death that we might be joined to God eternally. He died for us. And he said in John 14:3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Eternal life with Jesus, with the Father. Holy Spirit indwelling. And again, a few verses on. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. This is eternity. We have eternity in us. And lastly, in Jesus our old man was put to death, that the new man might come to life in us. We have to put off the old man and accept, receive, and live the new man. Galatians 2:19-20. For I through the law died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So, there's 10 points there. I think there are 7 points on this. And this is from Derek Prince Ministries. I mentioned Derek Prince having been the teacher who I heard. But there are so many of these cards which they put out, I'd actually recommend them to you. And this one gives the divine exchange, all those points. And it is worth saying them for yourself. And, I mean, I'm waving one hand and then the other. In Latin, that is sinistra and that is dextra. Sinister is left. Right, dextra. That which is right is on the right. That which is sinister, bad, on the left. So it's good to say, Jesus was punished that we might be forgiven. Jesus was wounded that we might be healed. Jesus was made sin with our sinfulness, that we may be made righteous with his righteousness. Jesus died our death that we might receive his life. Jesus endured our poverty that we might share his abundance. Jesus bore our shame that we might share his glory. Jesus endured rejection that we might have his acceptance with the Father. Jesus was made a curse that we might enter into the blessing. So, hallelujah. We have a good God. Shall we progress and then have communion? And we thank you for the cross, Lord. You now with very crowns.
couple of notices. Next week is the third one in the month, and so we would welcome gifts for the homeless. And on the third Sunday in September, it's going to be our Harvest Festival. The gifts that you bring, and I do ask you especially on that week, to bring gifts, and they will again go for the homeless. The need is increasing and causing difficulty. So let us show that we can give of what God has given to us. So Harvest Festival on Sunday, September the 17th. And I looked to see what my message was down for. And the title is, How Rich Are We? So I think that rather connects. There we are. So then, we're going to come to communion and celebrate it together. So let me remind you of the call. This is the table, not of the church, not of the pub, but this is the table of the Lord. It is to be made ready for those who love him and for those who want to love him more. So the invitation, so come. Come if you have much faith and if you only have a little. Come if you have been here often and if you have not been and taken communion for some time. Come if you have tried to follow the Lord and feel that you have failed. Come because he loves us and he gave himself for us. Come and meet the risen Lord Jesus, for we are his body. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for your sacrifice. And we come, we take the bread and wine as symbols of the body and the blood that you gave so freely for us. Thank you, Lord. So we know that Jesus took the bread. When he'd given thanks, he broke it and he said, Take, eat, for this is my body which is given for you. We also know that Jesus took the cup. He wants us to drink this wine in remembrance of him. So let us come with truly thankful. thankful hearts as we take this wine, the sacrifice that he made for us, the precious blood of Jesus. Let us drink the wine with truly thankful hearts. Let us. Let us pray. We have taken bread and wine into our bodies. Now may these hands be the hands of Jesus in this world. May they do no violence. May these eyes see those who are overlooked. May these ears listen to those who are unheard. May these voices be raised for the voiceless. Let our songs of praise be empty. May these feet take us where Christ leads, and may these hearts and minds be open to your Spirit. And it should have read, may these voices be raised for the voiceless, lest our souls of praise be empty. We thank you, Lord, for you, for who you are, and for all you mean to each one of us. Amen. Now, as I hand back to Stephen, we want to thank you, Stephen, for the last week and for today. And we want to thank you for your faithfulness to God.
The last opportunity we have to sing today is to sing, Lord, I lift your name on high. He came to the cross, went to the grave, but he is ascended. So let's rejoice.
To earth to show the way from the earth. lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Shall we say the grace together? Gather up.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Hallelujah!
Before we disappear, I did ask...
oh, yes. Stuart had a visitor, one of his health visitors, and the one that came was one that we know well, David Trapp.
Oh, yeah.
And David said, "Would we take his best wishes to you all?"
Oh, all right. Thank you. David came to my house one day to see Keith, my tenant.
Oh, right.
He has carers in, so David suddenly said, "Oh, hello."
He's a